Hi, everybody. Welcome to the containment unit. This is Janine Melnitz. What can I do for you?
Put on your bunny slippers. It's slime for the Ghostbusters Containment Unit podcast with your hosts, Matt and Tom.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Containment Unit. It is the first time in a long time that we have been back, but I, Matthew Sanders, am excited to be here with you today with my good friend and yours, Thomas Henry. Tom, how the crap are you today?
Hey, everybody. I am tired, I think is a good... I'm tired. I'm in a good mood. I'm a little tired. It's been a long week.
Yeah, no, I feel that, man. I don't know. I know for me and my situation with work and whatnot, we're on Zoom a whole lot, and there is a fatigue that comes from staring at a computer screen and being on Zoom. So I don't know how it is for all y'all out there, but it's just a different kind of tired.
It is.
Plus, yeah. You did fly around the country.
I did, yeah. We had the
It was just north and south, but...
Yeah, we had the Finn signing last week. That was awesome. That was our biggest signing ever. Went really, really well. And I'm just kind of wrapping that one up before we go live on Friday. Well, today, if you're listening on the day this drops, we're going live with our next signing, which is the person who we interviewed this week. So you're going to be hearing from them at the end of this episode. And
or if you read the title, because it's probably in the title, you know who it is by now.
Or if you read the title, it's Ira Hayden, who is one of the Mini Puff voices. He was also in Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors. So an iconic horror name in his own right, and now he's a part of the Ghostbusters family.
That's it. So we have a great conversation with him, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. But before we get too far about what's next, I think it would be great for us to take a moment and talk about how the signing with Finn went. I think Finn is a name that a lot of people want, and obviously one that a lot of us need on cast pieces for Afterlife. So this is a huge, big first signing. And I wasn't there. And so, Tom, I'm hoping, and honestly, you haven't shared too many details with me because you said, let's save it for the pod.
Yeah.
And so I want you to help me feel like I was there. So how was it?
It was fantastic. Finn is, I said this maybe to you or in the group, but he's way cooler than any of us will ever be. And he's, I had met him briefly at the firehouse and he was super nice. But sitting there with him for a couple hours, he was just so nice and laid back and very accommodating, and he told great stories. He told the stories about working with Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and Ernie and all that, and his relationship with the other kids, and it was just really great. And I get the impression that he's not the biggest fan of like conventions and stuff, and heaven knows. Our signing was not easy to get locked in. So, part of me thinks that this isn't going to happen again for a while. So I'm glad that we had the opportunity. And it was a little bit of a quick turnaround, certainly quicker than we're used to, but we didn't have much of an option. And, we had an opportunity and we took it. And I'm glad we did. I don't think I'm gonna get in trouble by saying this, but there was a really great moment. I was sitting with Finn at the table, and we were just talking, and I was, are you okay with this quote? And how's your hand and stuff? Because we had a ton of items, but at one point I asked him, I was like, how did you land on this as your autograph? And his agent chimed in and he said, oh, he dropped a marker on a piece of paper, and that's what happened.
I mean, that's essentially what it looks like. It looks like someone just doing a quick scribble. There's not much to it.
I wish I had a mic on him because he did explain why that's his autograph. And it was actually very well thought out. And I don't want to, I'll never do it justice. But basically at one point he was starting, his initials are FMW. And so he kind of did cursive initials of FMW, but then one time he did it and he forgot to cross the F, and then that's kind of basically what you see there. And so essentially his autograph is a lowercase cursive F without the cross into a W. And that's basically what he does. You know,
so because quick. So because he messed up one autograph one time, he said, no, that's I can't. That's got to be the new thing. I forever now cannot cross my F.
I guess. And, well, I mean, hey, Peter Mayhew, you never crossed the T, right? And it was, you know, it was just funny because he's very aware. You know, when we were at the firehouse, I don't know if I told the story or not before, but McKenna was signing my poster and she said something like, oh, my autograph is terrible. And Finn interrupted and said, oh, no, that's nothing. Look at this. And then he signed it. And McKenna's like, started laughing. He goes, yeah, you still got time to get there. So, you know, he's very aware that, you know, his autograph could be more. But hey, that's what it is. That's his signature. That's fine.
Not well, wrong. And the nice thing with this signing was you had the option to get the character name or the quote, yes. Which for me, that really makes or breaks.
Yeah.
Signing with Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah, and he, you know, there was one quote that a bunch of people requested that I was like, oh, I don't know if he's going to do it. And I remember telling you that, but he was fine with it. He didn't mind. You know, I even asked him once, I was like, what's your favorite quote? And he wrote that. You know, he was good.
Which one was that? What did he say?
Well, I haven't shown the person their item yet, but he wrote, his favorite is Come On, Darling. When he's trying to start the Ecto, because to him that's just like being in the Ecto. That's like his, I guess, primary memory of the movie. You know, is like he had to drive the Ecto one essentially. So,
and the one that we were worried about was What a Shitbox, and you just because it's with profanity.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know, yeah. And so he didn't, it clearly didn't care.
No,
the one I'm thinking back now, I wish I would have thought to get, and I don't know what shot we would have used, especially since the movie didn't come out yet. By the time of the signing, or not enough time for us to at least order print, you know, whatever.
Right.
But where he talks about the murder house.
Someone did that.
Really?
Yeah, one person did that.
Man, I took orders and I forgot that.
Yeah, I watched it, you know, Inside Baseball, but you have to order the photo prints in advance, right? So by the time the digital copy came out, the digital copy came out 2 days before the signing, so there's just no way. But I watched it and I remember, like, I was like, oh, I wish I had that shot or this shot. And then there was a line, but I don't ask me what it was, but I was like, oh, that's a good line and I wish that I had that. But it's fine, you know. We had many, many different images, and some of, you know, Finn, people don't realize though, is that this is really the first time Finn signed Ghostbuster stuff. He hasn't done any cons since he was announced. He did Emerald City Comic Con in Seattle before he was officially announced. That's where I got him on my 12x18. And then he doesn't sign on the street. So even though there had been opportunities like premieres or whatever, he doesn't sign there. So I asked him, and he had signed like a handful of Ghostbusters items before that signing. And now there's a ton of them. And I printed all the images, and some of them are one of one at this point. You know, there's only one copy signed, and it's just kind of cool. You know, we got to show him all these photos that he'd seen him because he's in the movie, but you know, he hadn't signed him or seen him up close. So
yeah, no, you're right. I'm in some different Facebook groups, and some of which is, I think it's called like Celebs With Me or something like that. And it's where people share selfies, and someone actually just got a selfie with Finn the other night. But everybody's like, wow, how did you do that? That's a big deal. He never stops. He does not stop for people. And quite honestly, if you're a kid and you have a bunch of adults coming after you, and not that he's a kid anymore, but he started when he certainly was a young kid, I could see why he'd be a little adverse to that kind of stuff.
And he definitely, signed at the firehouse, and you know, anybody in the hobby, the autograph hobby, that I told that, I'm like, oh yeah, I got Finn at the firehouse. Like nobody, like everybody's stunned because he just doesn't sign on the street, and he did there. He signed probably 5 items total, but there wasn't many people there, you know. But
yeah, it was a pretty tame and controlled event.
Yeah, but you know, this Finn signing has been in the works for months, and there was conventions we were gonna possibly go to instead and just do it that way, and they kept getting pushed back and canceled, and so it's like a nice feather in the cap to finally have it resolved and just get it finally done. You know, it's one of those that just took forever, but
yeah,
couldn't have been nicer. And just it was great. It was a really nice way to start the year and to get you know, 2022 underway and our afterlife projects underway.
I mean, selfishly, I'm excited because according to you, and you are the expert at this point, I have one of those one of one photos, Tom.
Which one's that?
The, you remember the summer?
Oh, that is one of one. Yes. With the quote. Well, mine too, the Come On Darlin' shot where he's in the car. We did a few of those. They might have been ones that I did as stock, but nobody else got the quote on it. So mine's one of one too.
Oh.
But it's really great. Like, people had a great idea, and I couldn't name names, but some people, you know, who did the Funko Pops, like, they had Finn write What a Shitbox or Come On Darlin' on the pop, which really makes sense because the pop is him in the Ecto. So those are really cool. I didn't get one for myself because I couldn't find one in time, but I love those. There's several of them in my apartment, and I'm a little jealous. But what can you do?
Yeah. But I really think for those of you who are struggling with FOMO on the Finn signing, he will sign again. He will do conventions again. It's just he's not a frequent flyer when it comes to those. Yeah. And I think because StrangerCon was again pushed back, there's hope that he will continue he will honor his appearance that he was supposed to do there. And so there's a chance in December he'll be back there and you can find someone going to the con if you want to go for yourself, and you should be able to get him. So he is gettable.
Right.
He is just not a frequent flyer.
Yeah. And if there's a compelling reason in December, you know, one of us could go as well, but you know, we'll see. It's a long, long way away and a lot can change between now and then, but you know, it's already in the back of my mind of like, okay, well, just in case, you know, it's there. But
I mean, I could probably come up with another 10 items I need them on, if that helps.
Yeah. So anyway, 2022 is off to a really strong start. Our Kim signing closed. Hope you got in on that. That was also huge. We talked about this in the group briefly, but great opportunity, going to be rare. And then got another one announcing as you're listening to this. It's already announced. And more to come. More to come. Lots going on. We're very busy. So it's going to be a short episode because we're both really busy. But
yep.
Stay tuned. And thanks for all your support. And, you know, before we go, Matt, I mean, you know, throw it. Let everybody know who we're talking to today. You know, I think it's important that we set that guy up because he's an icon.
Yeah. And what a great guy, too. I mean, very friendly. Easy to talk to. I get the sense, well, we talk about it a little bit with him, is he's a collector just like us. And so he totally appreciates what we're doing. And so we are excited to offer a signing and have an interview with Ira Hayden, who, if you have a Stay Puffed or Mini Puffed project, he's going on all of that. Maybe you have a cast item that is currently with us from Finn and you want to add the voices or a couple voices of the mini puffs. I feel like obviously there's probably a dozen plus different voices, but Sarah is a big one and Ira's probably the other really big one. And if you pay attention and listen, he can clearly identify who he is and which mini puffs he is in that scene. So definitely a fun ad. I know that I'll be getting them on several pieces because again, I'm just sick.
And that, you know, what about, you know, you mentioned the mini puff projects. What if somebody missed out on that? Is there another opportunity to add Sarah? Is that something that you think we could do? Did you make your decision on that one?
I think she's got an appearance here in Orlando. And if there is enough of a reason for me to figure out how to get over there to see her, I will figure that out.
Okay.
I'd be glad to help and get people Sarah and starting a brand new mini puff project. I'd love to see her again. She's fun and she was great. And so you don't have to twist my arm to go hang out with her, but if I got to go and bring a bunch of stuff, you know, I can.
Yeah, and we, you know, I posted the picture of the project. Turned out really nice, and a couple people were like, "Oh, I missed out." And we don't really do those a second time, you know, because once we start something, it's like the more signatures you add, the harder it is to go back and recreate those, you know, because every time you got to set up a new signing and stuff. But this is just kind of a serendipitous thing, serendipitous. So we could do that, and so I think we're going to. But anyway. you know, Ira, great guy. He's got a lot of cool stories about his various work. So, you know, listen to that. Get your orders in. Funko Pops, breakfast cereal, Hasbro Mini Puffs, anything you want to send in, we're going to get it signed for you. So, you know, without further ado, we'll hand it over to Ira, and we'll talk to you again at some point when we do another episode. We're not very regular with these, but.
Well, and I would say, Tom, let's not forget, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic, anxiety and tensions at an all-time high. And so please don't be a peck. All right. Just be a good person.
That's right.
Listen to the episode and place an order. That's all we're asking you to do.
That's it. It's easy peasy. I don't know what to say there. See you next time. Hey, everybody. Tom here, always with me to this, wait, over here. No, that's a terror dog. Oh, is he down here? Okay. Matt is with me today. We are here with a very special guest, Ira Hyden.
This Hello man there.
Is an icon. You know him from Dream Warriors. We have the Wizard Master with us today. So you might be asking yourself, why is the Wizard Master with us? Well, we're going to get there. All right? So Ira, before we jump into the Ghostbusters of it all,
right?
You know, you have this movie, this very specific movie, Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors, where you play the Wizard Master and you have this iconic scene and this iconic death, and it's this amazing moment. So before we jump in there, because we have horror fans as well, I just wanted you to, how did that impact your, not only your life, your career, like what does Nightmare mean to you?
So it's a wonderful horror family to be a part of. To this day, I still keep in touch with all the cast and crew from that movie, and the ones from the first one and the ones from 4 and 5, we're all kind of like a tight knit family. So to be a part of the Nightmare movie, it's pretty significant, you know, with Robert Englund and Heather Langenkamp. We all hit it off so well. And what do you say? I mean, it's such an iconic movie, and there's so many great characters, and especially the one from Mars. I mean, we were all teenagers banding together to try and beat the demon, you know? So it was such a wonderful thing to be a part of.
We talked about this when you and I first met. I had just watched all of the Nightmare movies again around Halloween. And then shortly thereafter, not a couple of weeks went by, that I learned that you had a very special role in Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Yes.
So tell our viewing audience what brings you into our family.
So I knew the director, Jason, and we used to play broomball together and had a lot of fun times. When I heard that he was on this project, first of all, it's Ghostbusters. It's one of the most epic movies of all time. I literally wrote him an email saying, dude, I will do anything. I'll be a zombie in the background. I'll be whatever it takes. I do a lot of voice work, but whatever it takes, I want to be a part of this movie. So I get a message saying, Ira, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. You know, it's been so crazy busy, but yes, I definitely want you to be a part of this. You should be a part of this. And he said, we're going to start you off doing some ADR work. And I said, that's great. Awesome. I'm so excited. So I literally, October 16th, 2020, a day that I will never forget, that I did ADR, which, are you guys familiar with ADR?
Yeah, for like background characters and stuff, you're doing their voices, right?
Correct. Yeah, voices that people are passing. It's a ghost. You know, all the people in the background where you're in a restaurant and stuff like that. And so, you know, that was so much fun. And then we got to play some of the ghosts that were coming out of the cauldron, the screaming ghosts through the town and stuff like that. So, you know, it was a lot of reactions, and that was a blast. And then the people that led the ADR group said, Ira, the director requested you to stay after. I'm like, oh, okay.
Uh-oh.
I did not know this. I mean, it's enough just to do the ADR for Ghostbusters Afterlife, right?
Yeah, I would take it.
Well, guess what? I was told that I had to do some characters And then I found out what the characters were. So literally from 3:30 till 7 p.m., and we did this all remote. We a lot of us were in the sound studio, but Jason was at home and Perry was at home. And so we all were looking through the computer and watching these characters come to life. And so it was like literally, I mean, it was so much fun.
So you you told me you kind of identify yourself as the jelly bean one and the guy who drools. Like, is there something specific that you do? You remember saying like a specific line or making a specific noise that you can pick out on screen?
Well, jelly bean guy was, you know, like it was kind of, you know, a funny kind of thing that you can hear pretty quickly. But also with the drooler, it's like a quick, you know, because it's cut very quick, but it's definable. You know, you can definitely hear it. So.
Absolutely.
See, I got a question even before that. Okay. You said you play broom ball with Jason. I just need, is he competitive?
Very, very,
very competitive. Okay. All right.
We had a lot of fun and it was great. So we rented the Culver City ice rink here in Los Angeles in Culver City from 12 midnight till about 2 a.m. And Jason and his partner at the time, Dan, would blast Beastie Boys over the loudspeaker for 2 hours. B-Boys making with the freak. I mean, just, it was so much fun. And I mean, you're running around on ice in sneakers and a broom and hitting this big ball. And it was just, it was a blast.
That's awesome. Well, the real question though that I have is you're known for a lot of your on-camera work. How is it different doing the voice acting and how'd you cross over into that?
You know, it's kind of crazy. Like, if you think I've been in three, I mean, I guess you could say Ghostbusters is a horror kind of sci-fi thing, but, you know, with Nightmare and Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Yeah.
I got to work with some classic people.
For real.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about Alias too.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you worked with, if you had any exposure to J.J. Abrams or not on that, but.
Oh yeah, of course. I worked a bunch with J.J. He directed like 3 or 4 episodes of that. I think I did the 2nd and 3rd season. My friend, Jesse Alexander was the producer on the show and he literally had me come in and audition. And I auditioned for like one line, like, here's the papers. Like, and I was like CIA techie. And then it turned into, I think I did like close to 10 episodes and I turned into CIA agent Rick McCarthy.
You got a name.
It was so much fun working with that cast and that crew. And then, I mean, Terry O'Quinn, are you guys familiar with
my language? I love Lost so much. And, and John Locke is my favorite character. So
of course that, I mean, Lost is epic, but can you take it back to Stepfather?
Oh yeah. And you know, I was watching, Risky Business. He was in Risky Business too.
What?
Yeah, he had hair. He had a full head of hair.
Whoa, that's crazy. See, I didn't know that. But, you know, I quoted many, many times a lot of the lines from Stepfather.
Yeah.
And there was one time on set that I was with him and I said, you know, you did such a great job. And he's like, oh, thanks. And then later that afternoon, he was like, oh, yeah, hey, Ira. What was I saying? And it was like literally straight out of the Stepfather, like, wait a second, who am I here? It was classic. So I really, my first job in the voice world was doing ADR work on a movie called Dead Poets Society. And so that was a lot of fun. That was 2 days work. The director, Peter Weir, came in and directed us. It was a big project. And that was the very first time that I did that. But then I had gotten a voiceover agent. And so I was able to audition for cartoons and different characters and commercials and stuff like that. Like there's even one thing where I was a corn nut. Hey, a loud, annoying corn nut, which was a blast to do. So, you know, to get to break into that, it sounds great. It's a lot of hard work, but it's so much fun.
That's awesome. So you knew Jason personally before. So when you walk in there and you're on the soundstage and Jason's remote, you know, as a director, what does he give you? What is he? Obviously, when you look at the footage, you're like, oh, these guys are running amok. But did he give any specific direction on what he was looking for?
Yeah, of course. I mean, he's such an on it director. I mean, he knows exactly what he wants. And he also leaves you with the freedom to try different things. So it was really cool in the sense where, you know, we're all on the Roomba. And Jason goes, hey, why don't you guys think of like you're in Mario Kart or something, like you're in this grand speedway. So then at that point, we're like. So, you know, it was his direction, which helped us kind of go into these different areas.
Many a Mini Puffed is going to be glued to a Roomba in the near future, I believe.
For sure. So.
Hello, Funko. Come on, guys. Come up with some stuff here. Yeah. It's not just the pop figure, you know, holding on to the matchsticks. There's a lot of fun things.
Yeah. And it's crazy every time.
I'm talking miniseries. I mean, I'm serious. These guys need their own. They need their own diabolical miniseries cartoon.
That'd be amazing because they're so like immediately. I was really worried that people were going to see it, even though it was produced before Mandalorian. It came out after that, and so I was like, oh well, everybody's going to think that Ghostbusters is trying to rip off Baby Yoda, but it's not. And it's the Mini Puffs are so beloved already because they're inherently evil but still adorable.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, how great is that? Right,
that's amazing. Do you have there's a lot of chaos in there, and there's a few scenes and they're kind of spread out, but it's like you have to watch the movie multiple times because there's something going on here and here and here and here. So there's a lot of rewatch value there. But do you have a particular favorite death of a Mini Puff, like a gruesome Mini Puff death?
Absolutely, Tom. I'm glad you asked that. If you remember, the guys that are trying to climb up and they jump into, one of them gets into the blender. And there's a couple of guys pushing buttons, and all of a sudden, it is just gone. Yeah. I think that one is really, it's a lot of fun. also, my gosh, on the grill, you know, the first guy that's like going through, and then just toast. Uh-huh. That's one of the things I like to sign on these things is like, get toasted.
Yeah. I was going to ask you too. You know, sometimes when we do these signings, you know, we're obviously, for those of you listening, we're obviously doing a signing with Ira. You know, sometimes people like to have quotes and stuff written on there. And so, you know, Sarah Natacheny, for instance, hers is, she likes to write, no, with a lot of O's. So get toasted. That's perfect.
Yeah. And I think that's in sense, especially that's great in character for the grill episode, you know?
Yeah.
I think, you know, this guy could be very much of the, how sweet it is.
Ah, yes.
Right? Oh, no, I'm dropping my characters. Oh, no, Mr. Bill.
Now, one of the questions I had was, you know, we're obviously on the outside. You're on the inside there. But was there the footage that you saw when you were recording, was that everything? Or was there Mini Puff stuff that didn't make the final cut that you're aware of? Or
No, that was it. Oh, hold on. My cat was attacking this dude. We got to see it all. There was no parts that were cut. So we played with all of what was there. And I remember specifically Jason giving a bunch of us the opportunity to do that first guy, you know, that breaks through, you know, the first one that gets through and looks at Paul Rudd and then bites his finger. Yeah, a lot of us had a chance at doing that. And the people that were in front of me, Scott, I thought Scott did such a great job. And Jason said, hey, Ira, you wanna take a stab at this? And I said, you know what? No, I don't think I need to, because there's no way that I'm going to top what was just done. And he laughed. He was like, okay. It was, again, just the opportunity to get to play these guys. The evilness and playfulness, you know, when they're looking inside and looking at the Ghostbusters, you know, Bill Murray and it's great.
That's what I was going to ask. When we met with Sarah, she had mentioned that those were the guys, is what she said. The voices were the guys. And so I was curious, could you identify yourself in that scene too?
No, I know for a fact I wasn't in that scene. Although there was one of the characters that I did get to voice, which was biting, what's his name, backpack, the electronic backpack, yeah. And fries up. But no, I was not on those three. Gosh, I think it was David and I forgot the other actor. But yeah, I know for a fact that I wasn't a part of that one, but I know I'm on the rumba. I know I'm the jelly bean dude, and I know I'm the salivating guy on the grill. And I also believe I was one of the guys pushing the button on the blender.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, can you guys tell? Was it a woman? Is it a man? Can you tell any difference?
I can't. It blows my mind that you can distinguish the different people based on the sounds, because I can't.
Well, one of the great things about Jason is he let us, you know, he goes, okay, you guys, we need this one. And
cameo.
And we need this guy coming across. And I was like, I'll grab the salivating dude. And, you know, the other guys were like, okay, I'm going to grab the one with the graham cracker and the fire thing. So, you know, we knew which specifics to go after.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
That's excellent. Now you saw the movie. I think you mentioned something about a LA screening. Yeah.
Friends and family.
Right. Right. So,
yes.
So did you, I mean, I'm going to assume you liked it, cause it's a beautiful film. Did you have a favorite scene that you weren't in?
Yeah, you know, so my favorite part is getting to take my wife came and my 13-year-old boy. My favorite part is when the mini puffs came on the big screen, seeing the smile on my son's face.
Oh, it's amazing.
So that wasn't in the scene, but that was part of my scene, which was just so awesome. My gosh, there was so much about the movie. You know, I honestly need to see it again, because there's a lot that you can miss. But doing the ADR work, I did get to see most of the movie before. So I like Gozer. And I love the scenes with the big green guy coming out. You know, the first time they start blasting him. That was Josh Gad that did the voice for that guy.
Yeah, it's the people they got to voice the ghosts. You know, in the original film, it was Ivan for the most part. You know, Ivan Reitman did Slimer. He did the Terror Dogs when they had a voice. And for this, they got real pedigree actors, and it's really amazing.
Well, think about it, Tom. I mean, what are the chances that you're going to get to do something like this? I think you jump on it, you know? Just like when I heard the movie was going to happen, I jumped on trying to be a part of it. And it's an exciting thing. Yeah, I think who else was Olivia Wilde was a part of the team? Mm-hmm.
That was a secret one. No one knew.
Nobody knew. And then, so it was, again.
Yeah.
What's pretty amazing about this, the mini puffs, that was one of the few scenes that they showed us in trailers. I mean, you've pretty much seen that whole scene in Walmart by the time you go to see the film. Yet every single time it comes on, I find myself with a dumb smile on my face, just thinking, how amazing is this? It doesn't get old.
No, it doesn't. And it's kind of amazing how they multiply like rabbits, you know, like, oh, it's this one. And all of a sudden, boom, they're all over. Oh my gosh, there's one over here. Where are they coming from? You know?
And they had my number immediately. Because we didn't know that was the thing until the footage came out, obviously, you know, but like that's in the same vein as Gulliver's Travels, or there's a movie I love called Army of Darkness, where there's little Bruce Campbells running around causing mayhem. But now, like, I love Stay Puft. Stay Puft has been my favorite since I was a kid, and I have Stay Puft stuff all over my house. And to see little mini ones who are just evil, it's just so amazing.
They're adorably evil.
Yeah, absolutely. Sweet mischievous. And to be, you know, to have such talented people bring it to life. I mean, you told me, I think John Kassir, the Crypt Keeper, is one of them. And we have the Wizard Master, and we have Ash from Pokemon, and all these people who are well known from other things. And now they're part of Ghostbusters. It's so amazing.
I'm blessed. I feel I'm tickled pink to be able to voice some of these guys. It's crazy fun.
That's so cool. Well, I'm glad that you had a good time on the movie too, and that's such a cool. I was going to ask you. I had a question right now. I was like, well, how did you get involved? And the fact that you know Jason and you, what'd you call it? Broomball.
Broomball.
Broomball. That's so cool. It's so serendipitous that you were involved that way. So.
Yeah, it was. My gosh, those times, it was so much fun. You know, I always mentioned to Jason, I was like, we got to get it out of there again. We got to go. And he's like, there's no way, not a chance. Not the way my back is, and especially for me too, my back is not feeling the greatest. But also they closed down the Culver City rink and it's just, you know, you can't do it anywhere else. That was the place to do it.
Yeah.
I was curious. There's so much merch, and I see that you have some of your mini puffs there. Have you started collecting all things mini puffed yet?
Yeah. I mean, hold on one second, guys.
Ooh.
There it is.
Now, I haven't opened it. Because you can't open this. You just have to just deal with the fact that this is here and I'm not opening this. I'm going to keep this.
You got to take it in and just enjoy it for the visual appeal.
But for the fans out there, I am willing to sign these.
Awesome.
There you go.
Yeah, and we got some stuff too. I really want to get a poster at some point and get some of the cast, you know, to sign it. That's one of the great things about doing these conventions, especially the horror ones with Nightmare is, you know, you find a cool poster and you're there with all your buddies that were in the movie. And it's like, oh, Bradley, Greg, sign this for me. Sure. Oh, you know, Rodney Eastman. Sure. Jennifer, Heather. And, you know, so now I have a whole collection of Elm That's Street awesome. Posters and
documents. So you get the sickness a little bit that we have.
For sure. Are you kidding me? You guys aren't sick. You're just deranged. That's it.
Yeah, a buddy of mine who's a big collector, you know, I mentioned to him that we were gonna have a signing with you. He's met you like three times at different horror shows. And he's like, he's just the nicest guy.
Oh.
And he was so happy that you were part of Ghostbusters. He was just so excited about that. But
it's an amazing thing to be a part of. Yeah. I'm still, you know, again, like I said. I just feel so blessed that I'm a part of it.
Well, we're glad to chat with you, and we're happy to be working with you. And I even got a poster for you, Ira. If you'd like one, I will. I have an extra. I can give you.
Excellent.
Are you troubled by autograph forgeries online? Do you collect spores, molds, and Ghostbusters memorabilia? Have you or your family been looking for a safe place to go to add to your collection? If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Check out the Containment Unit on Facebook, Instagram, or visit us at ghostbustersautographs.com.